This is a HeadGum Original.
Imagine podcasts.
Don't do it!
Imagine a show in which we take the greatest hits of all time and we make them even greater. It isn't hard to do. In fact, it takes zero effort because you're not imagining it. You're living it. You're here. You're listening to Punch Up the Jam. Let's go. Let's punch it.
Let's punch it.
Punch up the jam. Punch it up.
But even if you weren't already listening to a podcast about taking the greatest songs of all time and making them even greater, would it be that hard to imagine it? We're going to talk about it this week. I am one of your hosts, Andrew Gregory.
And I'm one of the Beatles, Evan Gregory.
And we're extremely excited to welcome this week's guest, Arthur Meyer, onto the podcast. Welcome, Arthur.
Thank you, guys. It's a pleasure, a true pleasure to be here.
I am extremely stressed out to be talking to you in person, Arthur, because we've emailed a lot.
Yep.
You and I, this is the first time I've ever met you. And I'm terrified that I'm going to call you straight in your face the name Donald. Does this happen to you a lot that you meet people for the first time and they call you Donald?
No, it hasn't. Yeah, this would be the first time.
This would be the first. Yeah. And it's not for a random reason. It is because Arthur for 10 years ran an, dare I say, project?
Yeah, it was indeed a project. Yeah.
It was an email project. It was kind of an album of the week project where hundreds of people sent out an album a week. There weren't hundreds of emails a week.
One person each week sent out their favorite album, and hundreds of people did that.
Yeah, why am I explaining this? Yeah, I should let you explain this.
Yeah, people just sent out their favorite album of all time and then wrote whatever they wanted to about it, and all the other people in the project got the email.
Yeah, and the name of the email project was the Donald P. McMahon Project. So every time I ever got an email from Arthur, it's also said Donald in the email.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm sitting here looking straight in Arthur's eyes, just terrified that at any moment I could call him Donald.
If you do, I'm walking out. I'm leaving. I will feel disrespected.
But I found so many great... I was only on the project for the last maybe 2 years, but I found so many great albums through it. Arthur is a true lover of music and curated... also a ton of other amazing music fans into list, but the whole time he was also working as a comedy writer at Jimmy Fallon and doing a ton of really funny bits about music on the Jimmy Fallon show. So we're really excited to have you here.
Oh, thank you so much. It's a thrill.
We invited you here because of your credentials as a music scholar and music fan and as comedy writer, but also because of the bullet point on your resume where it says, has been nude on NBC.
Did I read that right? Is that real?
I have been, naked but blurred out on NBC, full frontal naked on HBO and on Hulu.
Really?
Yeah.
Did they give you underwear on NBC, like fake naked underwear?
Yeah, they gave you flesh-tone underwear.
Does the flesh-tone underwear have a fake bush on it to make it real?
It doesn't. Although, you know what, though? I honestly think that it is grosser to look at flesh-tone underwear than to just see a naked man, you know? Like for me to just look at myself in flesh tone underwear, it's revolting.
That's a very subjective opinion. Is it because it looks like a man with no genitals?
It's just
unsettling.
Maybe that's kind of what it is. I think that's exactly what it is.
Is it because when you look at the flesh tone underwear, you have to imagine what's underneath? Something to think about.
Sticking with the old theme of the show.
Yeah, well, you're not going to get me away from this one.
And the naked man. And what more famous naked man is there than John Lennon on all of his album covers?
Oh my God, I didn't think
he's naked
about
on
that.
A lot of album covers, right? Yeah. At least one. And then there's the bed picture, the famous bed end picture. They're naked in that, right?
Yep, of course.
Just inviting a bunch of reporters into your house to take pictures of you naked for, quote, world peace. Sure.
Sure.
Sure. That's why you want the reporters coming into your house to take pictures of you and your wife naked in bed. For peace.
I think they're also naked on the Let It Be album cover. You just see their faces. But below the neck, they're all naked.
They're all singing to microphones, but if you just zoom out.
If you zoom out, they're...
They have shirt collars on.
Yeah, they have dickies and they're nude from the neck down.
Well, this is one of the most famous, most impactful songs of all time.
Ever.
Imagine by John Lennon. And I think most people would say a perfect song. This song cannot be impugned. Well, there's nothing to do about it. Why on earth would you come to this show and say, you know what song I want to take a look at?
I'm going to impugn it right away. Or I'm going to impugn something you said about it, Evan, which is it one of the most famous songs of all time? Yes. Impactful? Is it? There's still countries.
That is
true. What impact has this song had? Other than making middle schoolers think really deeply about world geography.
Well, I mean, it bound everyone together at the beginning of the pandemic. I think everyone came together behind Gal Gadot and and agreed that her covering that song was a great thing for the world and helped fight COVID.
Even like a lot of the people in the video later apologized.
Yeah.
A lot of the people in the video were like, yeah, I'm really sorry. We shouldn't have done that. Like the beginning of the pandemic was weird for us too. We were making a lot of bad choices.
I would have totally done it. Like if I was asked, like it's like, oh yeah, of course I'll do that. Like I'm doing nothing else right now except sitting at home. Yes.
There's no way you could have made the better choice. If Gal Gadot or her agent or whoever calls you up and says, "Will you be in a Twitter video with her?" Yeah, you just say yes.
Yeah, I'll do anything. Yeah.
You don't know that the end result is going to be 100% cringe.
Yeah.
Well, so what was it, Arthur, that made you of all songs choose the song Imagine?
Well, there's always been a thing about this song that has bothered me, which is the lyrics, "Imagine there's no heaven, it's easy if you try." So that's the thing.
That's
and then
the
second verse, "Imagine there's no countries, it isn't hard to do." And then "Imagine no possessions, I wonder if you can." So the lines, "It's easy if you try, it isn't hard to do, I wonder if you can." Mm-hmm. John Lennon is really kind of trying to, he's being pretty passive aggressive.
It's a little, it's kind of some bullying.
Yeah, it's bullying. It's like, you don't have to make me try to imagine. Like, what are you doing, man? Like, just, I'll decide if I want to imagine. Like, he's trying to goad me into imagining this stuff. Just let me do it on my own time, dude.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's very much the energy of like, I feel like he's shoving me
he's
on the shoulder
you.
A little
yep.
bit.
He's being pushy.
Yeah, this is happening outside a high school cafeteria for sure, like outside the view of authorities and teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, imagine there's no countries. Come on.
It's easy.
Try it.
Yeah, just try it. Everyone's doing it.
Why haven't you done it already, in fact?
Yeah.
I did it.
Yeah.
It's easy for me.
It just took 2 seconds. You just use your brain. That's it.
And that's one of those things where when he says it's easy if you try, actually makes me question the premise a little bit. Is it easy? Like, you said that a little too hard. Like, is it easy? This is a somewhat challenging thought experiment to imagine there's no countries, you know?
It's also one of those lines that you could tell he just needed a line there. Like, there's no reason why that needs to be part of the song. Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. Like, he clearly didn't have anything else that he needed to put there.
I mean, cue up the first verse, Evan, because I think if we get to the end of the first verse, we'll see that there's one reason that the line, "It's easy if you try," is in the song, and it is one of my absolute number one pet peeves with songs. Oh, the little bird song there. Little bird song. Just letting you know.
A little tweet tweet.
Yeah. Yep. Like, animals exist.
Guys, we're just animals.
Imagine there's no heaven.
Okay.
Yeah, all right.
One request.
Easy if you try.
Fine.
Okay.
It is. That's fairly easy.
No hell below us. Above us, only sky.
That's it. That's the reason why "It's easy if you try" is in the song, because he just needed a rhyme with sky.
Sky, yep.
And he was just like, ooh, what rhymes with sky?
Yeah, like high, by, try. Like, that's the thing that works out.
He just gave up a little too early and just, it's just a filler line.
Yeah.
Right?
You might be a little shy. Like, you could just put anything there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah,
imagine. Don't believe the Illuminati. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but is this one of those famous examples, the other one being one we talked about a couple weeks ago, Sexy Bitch by Akon and David Guetta. Is this one of those famous examples of, I wrote this in one night, it just came right out?
It feels like it's one of those.
It's a magic song. It was given to me by the gods.
It feels like it is, and there are like some claims about that. But if you go back and listen to the sessions from Let It Be.
You mean like Peter Jackson's Get Back?
Yes, like Peter Jackson's Get Back, okay. 1969. This comes out in 1971.
Mm-hmm.
And just in the background at some point during the sessions...
Okay, so which would have been how long before this came out?
2 years. 2 years.
2 years before Imagine comes out.
Maybe a year and a half because of the way years work.
Ringo, what are you doing?
So this is just John noodling around on the piano. Seems like Imagine.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say it's like 100% Smoking Gun.
So that's from the background of the Let It Be
sessions. That's the background of Let It Be sessions.
Oh, it's clearly the chords from Imagine, but that's just a chord idea he had.
But the other thing that 100% proves that this is not written overnight is that John Lennon later in life admitted that this song was quote unquote co-written with Yoko Ono because he cribbed the idea from one of her poems.
Oh.
So she had a book of poetry from 1964 with a poem called Cloud Piece with the line, imagine the clouds dripping, dig a hole in your garden and put them in. First of all, that is hard to imagine.
Yeah.
Digging a hole in your garden.
That is a challenge.
In.
That's a much heavier lift.
But that poem was even on the back of the album. So he has legally the estate of John Lennon has even legally gone through the process of adding Yoko Ono to the song as a songwriter.
I will say thing A did not resemble thing B here. There's only one word in common, imagine.
That's a fair point. Her thing is a much weirder emotional thought experience, and his thing is much more trying to write like a trans world anthem for love and peace.
Yes. Which he did.
I guess. But they also found lyrics on this isn't like certain evidence, but they found lyrics in his handwriting on the stationery of different hotels. So it's like, okay, like he could have had all the stationery theoretically, like in his living room at his house, right? Like they can't prove that he was at the hotels when he was writing down different lyrics, but he's working on it for a while and then puts it together. This is his second solo album after the Beatles break up. He co-produces the album with Yoko and Phil Spector, the Wallace sound guy that he had so long admired.
Okay.
The other thing that's funny about this album is you have this hippie anthem, basically, that's almost transcended hippiedom and just become like, oh, the song that's played at the Olympic open ceremonies, you know?
That's how big it is. It went to the top of the charts when it came out in 1971 and then just entered the Song Hall of Fame.
Yes. Elton John has covered it. Diana Ross has covered it. Dolly Parton has covered it. Like, everyone has covered it, and everyone accepts that, like, yes, this is a song we all agree is the perfect expression of peace.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, right next to it on the album is I'm a Jealous Guy, the song that's basically about, like, what a terrible husband he is to Yoko Ono. It's
great.
Like, well, I'm jealous, baby! And there are also all these, like, Fallout with Paul songs, like, really mean songs about, like, just like shitting on his relationship with Paul.
Oh,
because they've just
like,
gone through this really public breakup.
Night?
Yeah, that's it. How Do You Sleep at Night is on this album too.
Uh-huh.
And then, but the album opens with and is titled after Imagine.
You know who should get co-writing credit on this song who didn't is Forrest Gump. Do you remember that?
Great point. They appeared on the same talk show together.
The Dick Cavett Show.
We didn't have no nothing.
Imagine no religion.
No religion,
no
too.
No
possessions.
No possessions.
No heaven or hell.
Oh, it's easy if you try, Dick.
If there's one scene that the movie Forrest Gump goes from being like very good to like pretty good approaching kind of bad, it's either that scene or it's the scene where he wipes his face with the shirt and the smiley faces on it afterwards because his face is muddy. That's where it's already pretty bad.
Yeah.
And you're like, now they're just trying to cram stuff in.
Yeah, they had that idea. Someone had that idea years ago for something else, and they're like, we got to put that in a movie. Let's put it in Forrest Gump.
Which is just a catch-all for every possible period scene you could think of.
Anything that could have ever happened in the 60s or 70s.
It's easy if you try, Alpha.
So what was it that made you think that this is a one-sitting song? Is it just that he rhymed "It's easy if you try" with "Above Us Only Sky"? It could be,
it's the filler rhymes, but also, yeah, like you said, the line "It's easy if you try" is just a filler to get to "Above Us Only Sky." But I want to pay a compliment to the song. This is a clear case of the simplicity is because of hard work. This is great songwriting. The simplicity is why it's popular.
Mm-hmm.
People love this song because it's so easy to remember, so easy to sing. It's the simplest possible metaphors for peace. It's easy to play on the piano. Not only does this song basically state a middle school level of philosophy, imagine there's no conflict, now there's peace, but it also is a middle school level of piano performance. An 11-year-old can sit down in a hotel lobby and bang this one out just as good as John Lennon did.
Oh, totally.
That's key to his popularity.
If this song had been written in the key of D or F sharp, no way it's being performed at the 2012 Olympics.
Too many sharps!
Too many sharps.
Too many sharps!
But the fact that John Lennon was just like, I'm putting this right in the middle of the meatball, starting this in the key of C, just
making
like
it C.
You know, in the music video, they're in their home in an entirely white room playing the song on a white piano, and I just realized they're like, the whole verse they only play on the white keys.
Wow. Imagine that.
Imagine there's no black keys. No accidentals too. You could play in the key of C.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try.
I mean, this operates under the assumption that there is a heaven and hell, right? So it should be like, imagine there is a heaven would make more sense. Because it's like, oh no, there isn't. There is no heaven or hell.
That's why it's much more difficult to imagine what that place is, since we only exist here on Earth during our lifetimes.
Yeah.
It was really hard to imagine heaven. Like, does this guy know how hard it was to write the Bible?
Yeah.
That took people thousands of years to write. That was really hard to imagine. And people are still arguing about what it looks like.
Above us only sky.
I mean, the toms sound great. I love the toms.
That's Yoko. No, I don't think it is. Okay, we're going to come back around to the second verse here. No chorus yet.
A little refrain.
Has not played a black
key. Here's another
yet.
One. Ready? It isn't hard to do. He just needed a lyric. He just needed some words.
It is hard to imagine. There's no countries. I've lived in one my whole life.
And no religion, too.
I will say that, like, there's a lot of things that people kill for. I'm sad to share with our audience. Violence has many causes in this world. An abundance of things to get angry about and choose violence. Countries just happens to be one of them. Countries is the thing that goes to war and makes war. But then the claim that that's not hard to do, imagine no countries, that's already tough for me.
Yeah.
It is really hard to imagine no countries, just total anarchy or communism. And then the third line of this stanza, then furthermore, there's nothing to kill or die for. Wow, that's really a tough one to swallow. I want to live in that world where there is nothing to kill or die for, but imagining a world in which no one will get jealous over your wife sleeping with Jason the trainer?
When I think of, like, elementally conflict among humans, I think of the scene from 2001, A Space Odyssey, where the apes are just beating each other to death with bones and sticks, and the apes are just hungry. Right? It's just resource scarcity.
Yes.
Whether it's the scarcity of your wife's loving because she's having sex with Jason, the trainer, or whether it's because your family or your tribe doesn't have enough food. Those are things that are outside of countries or religion. And it's just a tough pill for me to swallow that I can imagine those things away. Also, there's 7 billion people on the earth. And I mean, all 7 billion of them have lived in a country for their entire life.
Yeah.
None of them have managed to imagine a world with no country so well that they imagine themselves out of a country.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, no one's just imagining themselves as just a resident of Earth. No one's like, where do you live? I live on Earth. You know? Can you be more specific? No, that's it. I'm a resident of Earth.
Yeah, even like I think of, there's a fake country in Florida. There's a fake movement to secede the island of Key West.
Oh, really?
And like even they didn't say like, we're a countryless people.
Uh-huh.
They said like, Key West is now a country. It's called the Conch Republic, and you can go to an office and pay like $200 for a passport to the Conch Republic.
Republic?
Yeah, they're not even saying we're a countryless people. They're saying like, we've got a new country. We imagined a better country.
Mm. What about, you know, like the dudes that live in the deep rainforest of Brazil or like the mountains of Papua New Guinea? You know, where civilization as we know it has not reached. And all they know is their village.
I mean, I think whether they like it or not, they still live in Brazil, and they might learn that the hard way.
I guess they don't know about our modern statecraft, but they do know about murdering. They be stabbing a lot. They be doing spears and stuff.
Imagine all the people.
Get back to the refrain.
Living life in peace. You may say I'm a dreamer. But I'm not the only one.
He's trying to peer pressure you into imagining.
Again, yeah, there's lots of us over here, Brad.
Yeah.
We're all doing it.
Yeah, there's lots of us dreamers.
Yeah. Are you not a dreamer?
You know,
it looks like you're just existing in this world but not imagining anything. You good. Get back to your math homework.
Now, when he's sitting down and writing the lyrics on his hotel stationery, does he write down Yoo-hoo? Does he get to the end of that verse and he...
Absolutely iconic Yoo-hoo. Is there a better Yoo-hoo?
Is that something he just does once in the studio and then he has to do it at every performance ever again? Or like, is that part of the composition?
I would love to think that somewhere out there exists a piece of paper that has a Howard Johnson stationery thing at the top and Yoo-hoo written underneath it. You know?
I'm desperate.
Like an asterisk.
Yeah.
Which to him means do the Yoo-hoo thing.
Yeah. You know what this means, John.
You don't have to write it out. It'd be embarrassing if someone found it.
Yeah.
You know what the asterisk means.
Then you don't want them to think the great John Lennon writes out Yoo-hoo.
Yeah.
It's humiliating.
That's why I draw this little picture of a cat and it reminds me. Every time I see the cat, I sing woo-hoo-hoo, or perhaps a toodaloo.
By the way, do you guys ever listen to a solo, like a Beatles solo thing? Like the song, and I listen to it, and I'm like, you know, this kind of sounds like the Beatles. You ever like there will be like a Paul McCartney song, like Uncle Albert. You're like, this is derivative of the Beatles.
You mean like your brain forgot that they were in the Beatles?
Yeah.
And you just made an aesthetic connection?
Yes.
Like,
and
this
then
reminds
me. And then you remember that Paul McCartney and John Lennon were in the group The Beatles.
Yeah. They were two of the most important members.
Yeah. It makes sense that they would write Beatles-esque songs.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, this song Imagine really sounds like about 50% of Beatles catalog.
Yeah.
John is the serious one. That's how the mythology goes.
Mm-hmm.
That Paul is the fun one, full of whimsy and melody, and John is all about the politicking.
Yep.
It's certainly that stereotype's playing out here 1,000%.
And he, like, on his first solo record, he had a Working Class Hero. He'd put out a couple singles that were, like, kind of more radical politically.
Mm-hmm.
And he, like, literally apologized eventually in the press for them. Like, ooh, sorry, I was hanging out with some really radical people. That was also when he was doing, like, all the primal scream therapy.
Oh, right.
Like, he and Yoko got really into primal scream therapy. So in his first album,
Mother,
he's just, like, yeah, just screaming. And you hear him shredding his vocal cords. And this song was just kind of like as a mild detractor of the song, kind of a retreat into a more anodyne, what if we all just got along?
I have to say, like, I think this song is corny, and I also love it for all the reasons I said, because it's easy to play on the piano. And you can just jam it. You feel good. You play those first two chords, and you feel good, man.
I love that that's the center of you liking the song. You're just like, oh, it's very playable.
It's one of those songs that if someone was just like, name a song, like you might, there's a good chance he would say Imagine.
Yeah,
you
it's know? Right there at the front of your
is
brain.
Is that because them saying name a song is pretty adjacent to them saying, imagine a song.
Oh, yeah.
Right now, imagine a title you already know.
It's easy if you try.
Have you ever, imagine.
Have you ever thought of a song before, Arthur? You try thinking about songs sometime?
And the world will
imagine no possessions.
Oh, brother.
I wonder if you can. No need for greed or hunger. Our brotherhood of man.
Imagine no resource scarcity. Sufficient goods for economies. Toodaloo.
There were cynics when the song came out, and I will repeat their criticism here, which is John Lennon, when this song comes out, is probably receiving more mailbox money than anyone in the world. He's saying, imagine...
The royalty is just... He's swimming in it.
Yes, imagine there's no possessions, but he's also saying, what if our entire living room was white?
Yeah.
What if my fifth house, a 10,000 square foot mansion in London...
Yes. See, he even changed some of the lyrics. Like, when he would do this live, he would change some of the, like, I's to we.
Oh.
To, like, to kind of, like, increase the... anthemic range of the song. Oh, this is kind of about the humankind. This wasn't just about me.
So would you say that he's having the same problem with those critics that Gal Gadot was having with the public?
Wow,
this rarefied celebrity is telling me about how to do my pandemic when she's in her Beverly Hills mansion.
I love the idea of Twitter existing when this song comes out and people just being like, John Lennon is canceled.
Yes, yeah.
John Lennon, you're a rich man.
He's too rich to be singing about no possessions.
Like Primal Scream Therapy seems to me to be like the Goop of 1971. People are dragging him for doing Primal Scream Therapy. They know he was just hooked on heroin. You know, he's beat up Yoko Ono before. People would just pounce on him and be like, get Imagine right out of here.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be hard to figure out what you could even make a song about after that. Like, you're screaming, people don't like that. You're singing about imagining there's no possessions. People don't like that. He's like, I don't know what to write a song about.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
He's back around to it.
Go with me for a second. What about a punch up of Imagine that is just the Primal Screams? Just the screaming.
Any lyrics at all or just screaming the whole time?
Just screaming.
So just dun-dun-dun-dun.
I think, you know, is Mother on the same record?
No.
It's on the previous record.
It's on a previous record. So we're talking about a John Lennon song called Mother. It's almost unlistenable. But the failing of Mother might be that he was too scared to scream the whole time and he felt obligated to sing words.
Okay.
What if it was only the screaming? Just sheer banshee shit. You know, howler monkeys going nuts.
Now, here's my question for you, Evan. Let's say you were living in a tribal scenario where resources were scarce, and you were screaming at the top of your lungs at all time. Do you think that that would scare people away from stealing your resources? Or do you think that would attract people to you to steal your resources?
You would get a spear in the ribs.
Right. I'm too busy thinking about the resource of food, but... You're thinking about the resource of peace and quiet.
And I'm thinking about all of the reasons to kill or die.
Right. There are reasons beyond, as we covered, countries and religion. Those are pretty low on the list. Most crimes are crimes of passion, and people are not running into someone's apartment and shooting them and being like, I just love my country so much.
That would be good, though, because you could use that in court.
No, I will say that this song went on the Clear Channel Do Not Play After 9/11 playlist.
What?
Really?
Yes. Okay, Clear I'm Channel shocked. Made a list when 9/11 happened. Right. They were like, there are some songs that cannot be played on the radio because our country is too important and we must band together in this time. And the fact that this went on the list actually makes me like it more.
Well, no, I don't get it. Unpack that a little bit. It's because the song says imagine no countries.
There was this event.
And that would undermine patriotism?
There was an event called 9/11, Evan. And
I'm sorry, back up. Wait.
So 9/11 happened, and Clear Channel, which is the company that owns almost every radio station in America and dictates all the playlists, much to music fans' chagrin, put together a list of songs that were like deemed to be too iconoclastic or too like anti-establishment.
Anti-American.
Anti-establishment. Like presumably the day after 9/11, you don't want a radio DJ to go on and play like Fortunate Son by CCR. All Vietnam War era songs, anti-Vietnam War songs, those are right out, you know? But somehow this made it on the list is like a song that like shall not be played post 9/11.
Because people associate it with, I still don't get it.
I guess is it because there's no countries in the song? And the U.S. is very intent on like firmly establishing we are a country.
I mean, people associate it with war protest, and Clear Channel is just putting a stake in the ground and saying we're ready to go to war.
Yeah, I mean, as like a cynic, it's sort of like Clear Channel is acknowledging like there might be a war soon, so we got to stay away from that hot button issue of saying there should be no war.
I've never heard of this before. It's making me angry even now, like 20 years later, to think that Clear Channel would be trying to move the needle on like making it okay for us to go invade other countries. I got to stew on that one for a bit.
What were some of the other songs on
that list? Else is on the blacklist?
Fortunate Son was just a guess, but yeah. I have to hope and dream that that's like literally the first song going on.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's in every like anti-war movie.
Yep. You know? It's in Forrest Gump.
It's in Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
It's a clear anti-war movie.
Yep.
Is it a clear anti-war movie?
I think it's more of just a like war happens movie.
Clear Channel released an internal memo containing a list of roughly 160 songs its radio stations were discouraged from playing for their 100 million weekly listeners. It's most of the radio listeners in the country. You can't play Walk Like an Egyptian?
What?
Sure, makes you think about the Middle East, yeah. Don't want to
Walk
do that.
Walk Like an Egyptian?
Songs like
They're
John...
like, we don't know who did this. Could have been an Egyptian.
Yeah. Let the Bodies Hit the Floor? Sure. Don't want to hear that. That's good. That's a good
that's
choice.
Fair. That's fair. Yep.
That's fair. Crumbling Down by John Mellencamp? Fair. Maybe just in bad taste. The list was heavy on catalog acts, meaning, I guess, like oldies and classic rock. And it did not have many country songs, because country, just as a genre, has a blanket pass as being patriotic. Right? This is sort of like the impression people have.
Except for the Dixie Chicks.
Except for the Dixie Chicks, yeah.
But that was after the fact. They came out as being, quote-unquote, anti-patriotic, like in the mid-2000s.
2003
like,
or something,
like
yeah.
During Bush's tenure.
Okay, this guy here, they're interviewing like a DJ who says, yeah, we did play Imagine. He must have been accused of not playing Imagine. Yeah, we were playing Imagine for sure. That's healing music, so that's exactly what we did. Did we play Jet Airliner by Steve Miller? We did not. That's just common sense. That's just common sense.
You don't play no songs about nothing in the sky.
You don't play Leaving on a Jet Plane. You don't play Jet Airliner.
Spirit in the Sky, out.
You don't play anything off In the Airplane Over the Sea.
I love the idea of someone from Alabama talking about Neutral Milk Hotel.
Yeah, Neutral Milk Hotel. Are you crazy?
We have to lay off the Neutral Milk Hotel here on the Classic Rock Station.
Yeah. I mean, we could play on Avery Island, but In the Airplane Over the Sea, no.
Imagine all the people sharing all the world.
Blatant appeal to communism.
We already are sharing all the world. We're just not doing the best job ever, okay,
it's just
John?
About the mechanism.
But I'm not the only one. More peer pressure.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I'm not the only rich person that thinks you shouldn't acknowledge my possessions. Join
us. And the world will live as one.
Mm. Oh, there's the birds.
Has the bird always been part of the song?
No, I think I probably ripped the like official video version where he and Yoko are like taking a tranquil walk at the opening of things.
So. Oh, right.
Probably left in the bird sounds. I don't mind it.
Are we sure that this song wasn't sponsored by the drink Yoo-Hoo? Are we sure? I mean, as I've been second-guessing the kind of corporate motivations of John Lennon the human, do we know that there wasn't a tie-in to the chocolate?
We don't know that.
Yeah, drink. We don't know that for sure.
I'm almost surprised that there's not a lyric that's like, imagine all the you that you could ever drink.
It's not hard to
in
do.
A big vat really makes you think.
And that line, it really makes you think, is basically as good as it isn't hard to do.
It's pretty much exactly the same thing.
Yeah. The only difference is you need to get that line in second. You can't finish on the filler line.
Yeah.
John knows that. You got to put the filler line second. So you finish on the big fourth line, above us only sky.
Yeah.
Twitter and YouTube are new, but viral marketing is not. So we don't know that there wasn't a product. behind this. We'll do a follow-up episode. We'll go interview some old brand execs, and we will get to the bottom of this Yoohoo idea.
We do know now, CCR has revealed that Fortunate Son was actually viral marketing for the Senate.
For the Senate?
Yeah, they were just like, the Senate came to CCR and was like, we really need to build up the Senate. Like, wouldn't everyone love to be a senator's son? That would be cool. You wouldn't have to fight in Vietnam. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. If you just worked that into your song, CCR was like, we're doing it.
We're promoting the Senate. So I think Imagine should be about... Can I pitch you guys an idea?
Please, that's why we're here.
That's why you're here.
So one thing I think Imagine could totally stand to use some actual visual imagery. So that it's really about stuff that you're imagining.
Yeah, it's really very abstract right now. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So I think there's a few more concrete things. So for example.
Let me set you up here.
Yeah. Imagine there's a school bus.
Okay, all right.
The driver's Russell Crowe. He takes you to the airport.
That's not what school buses usually do.
And says, we're late, let's go.
This is really specific.
Imagine you and Russell flying to Belize. Wait, I gotta do the second verse.
Oh, okay, back to the second.
Yeah, second verse. Yeah. Great. Imagine there's a monkey who has a PhD.
This is hard to imagine.
He teaches at Gonzaga. Medieval history.
Do, 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 do.
Imagine you're his student. The monkey fails you. You may say, I'm a dreamer. I like imagining. I hope someday you will join me and imagine fucked up things. That's just an idea. That's a possibility.
Just a short suggestion.
Yeah, just a
small suggestion.
Take it or leave it.
What I like about every part of that is they all seem like a bad dream had by a powerful film executive. Mm-hmm. You know how like normal people mm-hmm. like us, our bad dreams are about like, I went to high school and I was naked.
Yep.
If you're like a 65-year-old film executive, like imagine you're Jeffrey Katzenberg. Mm-hmm. Your bad dream isn't about high school anymore.
It isn't hard to imagine you're Jeffrey
Katzenberg.
Yeah,
imagine you're Jeffrey Katzenberg.
It's easy if you try.
Your bad dream isn't about like, oh man, I walked into my high school class and I was naked and I hadn't studied for the test anymore.
I had to give a presentation at
work. Your bad dream is like, oh my God, I just had a dream. It was 1980. I walked into my first MGM pitch. I was totally naked. And I was pitching a movie about a monkey being a professor, which is like a movie that very much could
totally
be made in the 1980s. Yes.
And I greenlit that instead of Indiana Jones.
Now I'm just picturing Jeffrey Katzenberg coming up with movie ideas by like playing Imagine and just seeing what he thinks of.
Yeah. Imagine there was Quibi. They were quick bites. You could watch Quibi. Brought to you by Quibi.
Okay, this is an amazing pitch. Imagine a version of Imagine with specifics.
Yeah.
The name of the song is just imagine dot, 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 fucked up things.
Yeah, imagine in parentheses, fucked up things. I also think there could be a version of the song where it's all it is talking about how easy it is to imagine stuff. Mm-hmm. And he just really leans into that. So, yeah. Like, every line is about, like, it's really easy to do.
Yeah.
You just need to think stuff.
You never get to the stuff he's imagining at all.
It's just about the process of, like, how easy it
is
to imagine.
It's just like, you close your eyes, and then you picture it in your mind's eye.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's guys. It.
I did it. You can't.
You're done with the process. Yeah.
I'm an artist. I can lie in my bed naked all day and just imagine stuff. You have to come here and take pictures of me. You have a job.
If you lie in bed naked, you're a loser.
I do like this idea that, like, he knows how to imagine, and of course everyone does, but he maybe believes that you can't.
Yeah.
And so he's giving you a tutorial on
how,
like,
to imagine.
One time I thought of a can of vegetable soup. It might be too hard. Don't try it by yourself. Or maybe an animal you saw at the zoo.
Yeah, but John Lennon is a man who's effectively existed outside of human society since, like, age 16.
Yeah, good point.
I mean, he's
been
part of human society, but in, like, a weird corner of human society where you're an entertainer and you're a thinker. It's like, you've had some extra time to imagine and practice this, man. Mm-hmm. Like, someone who went straight from high school to college, got a job, maybe went and fought in the Vietnam War while listening to Fortunate Sons by CCR.
Well, and he's in the most rarefied echelon.
Yeah,
you know, even say, like, you're another somewhat famous musician. For example, you're the lead singer of the Boomtown Rats. You're enjoying some professional success, but you're still living a somewhat normal life that resembles other normal working class humans. If you're at the top of the entertainment pyramid, like a Lennon or McCartney or a Starr or Harrison, you've gone beyond even the reach of other mortal celebrities.
Yes, the Boomtown Rats are having to hustle day in and day out. Well, John Lennon is just saying, you know what? I'm going to go do primal scream therapy in Los Angeles for several weeks.
Yeah, and I'll call that music. Yeah.
Imagine fucked up stuff. Toodaloo.
No, I have a question for you, Arthur, which is, in your mind, what is so fucked up about going to Belize with Russell Crowe?
I really was mistaken in saying that was fucked up.
That sounds pretty fun.
It sounds
to
like
me.
A great time. Where is Belize? Is it South America?
It was Belize, right? Is Central America.
It was Belize, yeah. Belize, Central America. Mm-hmm. Yeah, with Russell Crowe.
I'm so mad at you for suggesting it's fucked up to go places with Russell Crowe that I'm going to download a quote from the movie The Insider starring Russell Crowe.
Uh-huh.
Where the guy yells, "Wipe that smirk off your face!" And I'm going to put it in this episode, and it's going to be directed at you, Arthur.
Ooh.
Wipe that smirk off your face when you're talking about going places with Russell
Crowe. I
will
take that very personally when I listen back to this episode.
It's going to be great for the soundboard.
Wipe that smirk off your face?
Wipe that smirk off your face!
Do you know the context of that in the movie?
Yeah, what is that scene?
I've watched that scene maybe 20 times.
I've never seen the movie.
We'll watch the scene after this. It's, in my opinion, maybe the greatest scene-stealing scene of any movie ever, where, like, someone kind of only has one scene, and when the movie's over, you're kind of like, you know who really carried the movie? That guy who's in it for one scene.
Yeah.
The smirk guy.
It's just a random guy. The context is a deposition. There's a deposition, and this guy yells, "Wipe that smirk off your face!" This really amazing southern accent. "Wipe that smirk off your face!" And I was just watching this week because I was watching My Cousin Vinny for the first time.
Mm.
And the actor who yells, "Wipe that smirk off your face," that I generally don't think of as being in anything, is in My Cousin Vinny.
Really? Mm. Do you know the actor's name?
I do not know the actor's name. He's the sheriff in My Cousin Vinny.
Mm.
The sheriff who arrests the two guys at the beginning of My Cousin
Vinny.
Pivotal
role.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a good movie game. Name actors that kill a movie in one scene.
Arthur, you will wipe that smirk off your face when you hear our punch up of Imagine, because it's going to be even better than the original version of Imagine, which most people accept to be one of the greatest songs in the history
of
the world.
It's a short song, man. There's not even that many words, and we picked them apart. Do we have all the info we need to go punching?
I think we do. I am going to have to drink a couple Yoo-hoos.
Mm-hmm.
Just so I can really work in
when you guys
flavor,
are working on this, you should totally like drink Yoo-hoo as though it's like whiskey, or as though, like you're like Ernest Hemingway, but with Yoo-hoo instead.
It sounds disgusting.
I mean, it sounds like John Lennon's Lost Weekend, right? Like his famous Lost Weekend, which was like a 2-year period where he was just getting hammered with Harry Nilsson in Los Angeles,
yep.
And like literally getting thrown out of clubs for heckling the Smothers Brothers. They were just drinking, I think, white Russians the whole time.
Really?
So, like, what could be more Lost Weekend John Lennon than, like, just pounding yoo-hoos while you wow. sing Imagine?
That's yeah. 2 years of white Russians.
Yeah, that's a lot of white Russians.
That's crazy.
What's in a white Russian?
Also, it's so rude to heckle the Smothers Brothers. They just seem so nice.
The most wholesome guys.
Especially if you're John Lennon. Like, who's going to say anything to you? Who's going to come up to you while you're heckling the Smothers Brothers and be like, man, like, you really got to keep it down. Like, you have to be pretty bad for anyone to say anything to
hey,
you.
Hey, Tom and Dick, where's Hattie?
Their whole shtick is making fun of themselves. Yeah. Like, how do you make
the
fun
the
of
one someone? That says he's older is actually younger. Gotcha. The one who's pretending to be dumb, he's actually the one who writes most of the material.
I believe a white Russian is vodka, a splash of Kahlua, and milk.
Okay. No yoo-hoo.
You're getting a really bad vodka hangover. What could make it worse? How about milk? What if you're going to drink milk all night as part of your alcohol consumption? It sounds horrible.
Yeah. That's a very bad thing to include.
That's why the yoo-hoo is going to be a step up, because the milk is probably like already processed or condensed. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever version of the song you guys make, I do hope it at least includes a little bit more of yoo-hoo, like at least 20% more yoo-hoo than was in the yeah. original song.
Yeah, I mean,
you guys are the geniuses here, but I will say I want there to be more yoo-hoo.
By the time you're back, I'm going to find out what the name of the rabbit is who is the yoo-hoo mascot.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
got to have a, he has he's got to have a name.
Yeah,
it's probably yoo-hoo.
Yeah, yoo-hoo the rabbit. Yeah. I have wondered whether John Lennon would have sucked as a musician in the 80s or would have had a period when he sucked.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe the answer is yes.
And you think that period was in the late 60s where he was releasing scream albums? You think he had a whole other bad era in him?
Yeah, because I think even on those Scream albums, there were some great... I mean, even the song Mother, I think, is a great song. There's just a bunch of screaming on it. But I think Double Fantasy, which was the last album he released, there were some good songs, but you could kind of see it's going in a sort of bad direction, you know. Mm-hmm. He's starting to get a little safe with stuff. Then by the mid 80s, I think he's completely conforming to, you know, all the like the musical tropes of the
and
time.
Would be bowing to the musical pressures yeah. of like making new wave synthy stuff.
So I think he's confused. He doesn't know what to do. He's trying desperately to hold on to his fans.
Also, he's living in New York.
Yep.
And what is just skyrocketing in popularity in New York in the 1980s?
Disco?
Cocaine?
No, rap music.
Oh, rap music, of course.
You have Lou Reed doing a rap song. Who's more New York than Lou Reed? He's just around it. He's like, oh, this rap, he likes it. Yeah. He's like, I'm going to try this.
Mm-hmm.
Blondie does it more successfully with Rapture, first rap song to hit number one on the Billboard charts.
Yep.
They weren't rappers, but they were just in New York and like just caught the fever.
Yeah.
They caught the hip-hop fever. John Lennon, one of the most famous New Yorkers of all time.
And he's in his 40s now, which is...
He couldn't have avoided catching yeah. the hip-hop bug.
Well, okay, you've sold me on the plausibility of yeah. this alternate reality.
This is what I imagine this would sound like. Okay. I would love a beat. Do you have any kind of like 80s, you know, like a, I don't know, a Run DMC kind of thing? Or really any beat will work. Dum dum diddy, corporate suits are sitting pretty, stealing money, getting greedy, while the streets are getting gritty. Can you blame them? Your hands are dirtier than theirs. Now the children need the needle. No wonder there's an AIDS scare. President proclaiming no hope and dope. It's hard to listen when Gorbachev's got Reagan on the ropes. Noriega and Gaddafi just want my Mr. Coffee. Particle pollution makes my lungs go coffee. Coffee can't get up. Hey Yoko, please help me. Will you find the damn remote and switch to MTV? Everybody seems to think I'm lazy, but can't they see this shit is crazy? Nuclear war is such a bore. Nuclear war is such a ball. Basically it.
I can't imagine how much I would have hated the MTV music video for this yeah. where he's talking about MTV.
Yeah.
And he's talking about how he's like super non-corporate.
Yeah, he's railing against MTV while making an MTV yeah. music video.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, we're working on an episode right now for Jefferson Starships, We Built the City.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Which is all about like corporations are taking over everything.
Oh, I never thought that that's what that's about.
We found
I never
out
even thought about that.
The person
like,
doing the radio.
Corporations don't rock.
Yeah.
We built this city on rock.
We rocked.
Yeah.
But the person doing the voiceover is the CEO of MTV.
Really?
And it's just like such an amazing moment of rock and roll hypocrisy to be yeah. like, corporations suck. This blows. And then to like be so famous as a rock and roller, you can like call the CEO of MTV and be like, we just have this little voiceover we want you to do. By the way, could you put our video on your network? What I love is the idea of John Lennon doing a like 1987 re-release of Imagine.
Yeah.
Oh. He just has the rap breakdown in the middle of it. Where he himself realizes like there was just so much more stuff I could have imagined, but in this slow piano ballad, I didn't have the time to get through all the lyrics. And then the rap hits and he's just like, nuclear war.
Yeah.
You know, Reagan's got the codes.
You're talking about Imagine becoming We Didn't Start the Fire.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. This is, this is his We Didn't Start the Fire.
And absolutely, Imagine got played at all the milestones of history. Like a few years later, the Berlin Wall is coming down. Imagine absolutely is getting blasted on a loudspeaker and he wasn't around to see it.
Well, you have like New York, you know, the Alicia Keys song with Jay-Z rapping on it. Imagine if Imagine was the piano ballad with a rapper on it, but John Lennon was singing the ballad and also rapping the rap about how much Ronald Reagan sucks. Because he would have hated Ronald Reagan. I think we can be confident.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
This is probably already a known thing. He probably already hated Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
Arthur, we have so many ideas for the punch-up.
Many ideas.
Just simply thanks to you. And in a couple weeks, just imagine we're going to be calling you, asking you to come back in, and listening to a better version of Imagine.
I can't wait.
So we'll be back in just a moment with our punch-up of Imagine. Imagine that we're back.
I can do it. I can. Now we're talking. That's a level of imagining.
You don't even have to imagine it because we're back with Arthur Meyer. Arthur, in our tenure as hosts, I don't think anyone has brought so many ideas to the table as you did a couple weeks ago. It was honestly quite extraordinary to me.
It was a little teacher's petty for me.
I was kind of hoping to become the third host of this podcast if it's cool with you guys.
Yeah, well, people have been lobbying us furiously. Andrew put you to the front of the queue and then I sent you to the back. We loved your ideas, of course. Well, who wouldn't?
Right. You pitched us the idea of imagining harder things to imagine.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You pitched us the rap idea. The Lou Reed thing was just insane. I've listened to it several times since and it just gets crazier and crazier. Also, I realized how 80s it was because looking at the YouTube video did I realize original rapper is like a spelling pun, W-R-A-P-P-E-R, and I was like, this is a Halloween scare rap.
Yes.
Like Lou Reed saw a news story about like kids are being poisoned in candy, which is like the most 1980s news story. And then he was like, it's the 80s, there's rap. What if I was the original rapper? It's so extraordinary. But we also talked about something that you didn't pitch us necessarily, which is frankly how mean the song Imagine is, because John Lennon is just being pretty passive aggressive.
Mm-hmm. No confidence in our ability to imagine stuff.
It's such an easy thing to do, and he's certain that he needs to pressure you to do it.
Although also, maybe it's fair for him to besmirch me and my ability to imagine, because I never thought about lying in my bed naked with my wife and inviting over 80 reporters to take pictures of me. He's the one who imagined that. He's good at it.
Maybe if you were worth $500 million, you could imagine that. I'm just, you know, let's save that for another day. Anyway, there's just so many good ideas boiling around. Here's what we came up with. We're pretty sure that this is a superior version of the historical mega hit, Imagine, and hope you like it.
I don't think by the 2024 Olympics they'll be playing this during the opening ceremony, but I think maybe 2032.
2026 Winters.
I mean, the piano part is touching. It's just a touching piano part.
Imagine green Russell Crowe on a giraffe that flies.
No longer is he phoning in the piano
too
part.
Too late, I already did it. Did you even try?
He's taunting you.
Yeah.
Imagine all the people. Imagine so slow to bear. Imagine the robot is prime minister.
Oh, the piano part is mocking you too.
That's just
it's
child's
nice.
Play for me. But you're only imagining the stuff after I say it. While Armahead to If Blood Was Ovaltine.
He's ahead. Yeah. That's where you're going to get
that
later.
You know your arteries pulsing milky sweet. You may say I'm a genius, and you wouldn't be the only one. I hope someday everyone will think of some alternative flavors for human blood. This is a hip hop, a hippie to the hip. She loves you, cuckoo to chew. My arms are hip, but if you don't trip, they'll teach you a thing or two. Dumb, dumb, nitty, corporations getting gritty. See, the suits getting greedy while the streets are getting gritty. Can you blame them? Your hands are dirtier than theirs. Kids need the needle in the middle of the AIDS scare. President proclaiming no hope in dope. It's hard to listen when Gorbachev has Reagan on the ropes. Noriega and Gaddafi just want my Mr. Coffee. Particle pollution makes my lungs go off the coffee. It's 9 p.m. Do you know where your Marines are? They're back to the future in Doc Brown's car. Yoko, please help me find the damn remote switch to my MTV. Everyone seems to think I'm just lazy, but maybe this shit just made the walrus go crazy. If I look up, might see Lucy in the sky, but I'm staring at my Nikes cause I'm a jealous guy. Nuclear war is such a bore. Nuclear war is such a bore. Change the channel so I can check the Super Bowl score. Nuclear war is such a bore. Imagine all the world's possessions.
Holy shit.
Piled up tall in my front yard.
He's
I'm
greedy.
Guessing you weren't able to do it.
Nah, he's a bully too.
You bully greedy John Lennon.
That's why this is my job. Now imagine Bugs Bunny in a bikini. I tricked you, that's already been done. You are a 4 on the Kinsey scale of attraction, specifically for rabbits. That metric didn't exist till 6 seconds ago, when the world's greatest mind imagined it.
Oh my gosh. That is the hardest I've laughed in a long time. That's so funny.
Thank you.
And I have to say, I am so honored that you included my rap in the rap section of the song. But the stuff you guys added was amazing, particularly the line, it's 9 p.m. Do you know where your Marines are? They're back to the future in Doc Brown's car. Like, it's so not rhythmic the way you sang it. It was perfect. It was like perfect for John Lennon rapping in 1986.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. If a 40-year-old Liverpudlian was trying to rap on that, you know, that was a thing in the 80s, that ad, like, it's 9 p.m. Do you know where your kids are?
And just,
yeah. And then the libs turned it around. Well, do you know where your Marines are?
Yeah. And just talking about, like, how gross the commercialism of the 80s is while just, like, laughing all, or rather imagining all the way to the bank. You know, like, oh, everyone cares about the Super Bowl these days and Nikes. Have you heard my new song?
It's he's a rap. He's not just trying to sell the single. He's selling out with a single, you know? This is a complete John Lennon sellout.
Imagine the Nike ad that John Lennon would have been in.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they did have all those, like, oh, like Michael Jordan and Larry Bird, like two icons. Yeah. Who's a bigger icon than John Lennon? Just do it.
This is so funny. Yeah. Holy shit. I mean, yeah, I love that you included lots of him very rudely taunting the listener in a number of ways by just straight up saying, like, sorry, you're too slow. You're only imagining it because I set it up for you.
Yeah.
Calling himself a genius.
That's what we felt like we had discovered together, is that he's bragging a little bit about, like, you know, have you ever you've tried imagining world peace? I do it all the time. I'm really good at imagining. And so just living out that bully self in this song a little more fully.
But also there's this whole layer that I hadn't really thought of, which is, like, if John Lennon lists all the stuff for you to imagine, Are you even imagining it when you imagine it?
He did it for you.
You're just repeating what he already did.
That's not imagining.
No, he did the hard work. Yeah, he set the table for you. You're the one eating dinner now.
You're two cognitive levels down just at comprehending.
If I read a book of fiction, I'm kind of imagining it. Maybe I'm imagining what the characters look like, but I'm not imagining the plot. I'm reading the plot. I'm just internalizing the plot.
Oh man, this is so funny. There's like too much to love about this. I love that he does a little nod to Rapper's Delight there at the top of the rap.
Oh yeah, because he would have loved that song for sure. And it came, I think Rapper's Delight came out in 79 or 80, I think. So it would have been around the
right
time he's getting introduced to rap, and he would have loved it and definitely would have hippity hopped his way into a rap verse.
Yeah, not unlike Bugs Bunny. Lots of really great references here. Kinsey.
We managed to transform Yoo-hoo from just a simple exclamation into a noun. Yoo-hoo is now, this song could now be sponsored by Yoo-hoo. I tried to get Evan to sing Yoo-hoo trademark. Evan refused.
Now, I'm curious. I have a question about the composition of this. In writing this, did you guys sort of collaborate on the whole thing, or did one of you take the rap section and one of you took the traditional song?
You know, a lot of times we will take the lead on things. Andrew's done a couple solo, and I've done a couple where, like, or maybe we'll write a few lines together, and then I'll go off and record it and write the rest. But this was quite collaborative.
Yeah.
I'd say we did this just over each other's shoulders. This was a true duet. I'm singing the John Lennon impression, but we were both, you know, in the room or in the virtual room the whole time.
I wanted to get almost the entirety of your rap in, but I also felt the need to put some stuff in the rap that surprised you and also just like make the rap even longer for fun. So the rap is like, if you went back and listened to Arthur rapping it, like we changed a couple small things for rhythm, but it's like almost all the stuff he rapped is in there, but then
there's
probably about half again of stuff that we got in, you know, the Walrus reference and the Lucy in the Sky reference.
I'm very impressed. I know that original rap pretty much by heart. you guys put pretty much the whole original rap in.
It probably wasn't worth putting in the like Lucy in the Sky sample.
I love the sample. I'm glad you brought that up, because I forgot to mention how much I love that, as well as the little piano fills, the tinklings.
And there's, every time you play those opening chords, you got just two empty bars there. You could be playing a shreddy fill, like a little jazz lick, playing some riffs.
They all kind of sound like a needle in the eye of the listener, though. He's just imagining all over the keyboard. You couldn't do that. No, Evan, I want to pay you a compliment that I have saved until we were on mic, with the big virgin energy that we often have as being very proud progenitors of these punch-ups. Mm-hmm. What did I do, like, within 5 minutes of finishing this, but run into a room and be like, Casey, you gotta listen to this. And I played it for Casey. And Imagine for my own wife. You know, I've just finished it. You've just printed a mix. And I'm like, gotta go play this. Running around my house. And about 20 seconds into it, Casey turned to me and said, who's singing this? And I said, Evan. And then about 30 seconds later, she said, who's singing this? And I said, Evan. And then the rap started, and she was like, who's doing this part? And I'm like, it's still Evan.
Thought it was dead John Lennon.
But it was crazy to me that Casey, who's known you for like 12 years, you see her for like dozens of hours a week, like could not believe that this was you. I think it truly speaks to the quality of your John Lennon impression that you were deprecating before we were on mic.
Oh, thank you. You've given me my virgin energy back.
It really makes me think that you should do a whole John Lennon 80s album. You know, this is, it's, I think you're really on to something here.
Evan is just one pair of glasses away from being a professional.
You might as well jump, Arthur. Think of what 80s songs would be on the John Lennon album.
There's one disagreement on the song, Arthur. It's kind of trifling, but this is the sort of thing that Evan and I will argue about for 15 minutes. I lost the argument this time, so I'm really trying to leverage you into winning the argument.
You're asking him as a comedy writer.
As a comedy writer, imagine if right after the line,
If you rewind. Yeah,
if we rewind to the rap, Evan, if you're down on the rap.
Oh, in the rap, okay.
Imagine if you heard, it's 9 p.m., do you know where your Marines are? They're Back to the Future in Doc Brown's car. Imagine if you just heard Marty McFly screaming, Doc! Right after that line.
Oh, yeah, like to kind of fill the space between that and the next line?
Yeah, you just heard.
Yeah, I like that.
That's Andrew's opinion, but he's wrong because there's not enough space. And you can't.
Oh, there's not enough space
there. Let's see the
docs.
The
rhythm of it is, you know, think of it, Back to the Future in Doc Brown's car. It's not space, space, space. You immediately have to get into Doc Brown's car. Oh, no, can't get up. Yoko, please help me.
I hope you caught that. Yoko, oh, no.
Yeah.
Yes, that was amazing. And here, well, you know, here's a possible compromise to that. It's been a long time since I've seen the movie, but is there a part where Michael J. Fox says something like, Doc Brown's car? And then, like, you just like, that was a little more Marge Simpson than Michael J. Fox. Yeah. But where you put that in the space of that line, you know what I mean?
If his voice is the lead vocalist at that point. I think that's a great option. I don't know if we have that exact quote. Obviously, he says Doc. Obviously, he says car.
Maybe we come up with a different rhyme and we use that line where he goes, a DeLorean?
Yeah.
You know, a DeLorean? Car. Mm-hmm. John Lennon comes back in just for the car.
Yeah, now I'm trying to think of what rhymes with DeLorean. Yeah, I think that's a very good idea.
Okay, it sounds like I still lost.
The first thing I do when I'm done recording this podcast with you guys is I'm going to listen to this again. I really was blown away.
Oh, thanks, man. Well, what a pleasure. This has been a dream to have you on the show. We're going to take a break.
And we'll be back in just a moment with Arthur's walk-in music.
What is your walk-in in music?
And that is, what song would you play to walk into an event, real or fictional, of your choosing? Ooh. I'm going to start this week. And Arthur, I made a pledge to you when I asked you to come in and do this episode with us. I told you I would choose a walk-in song that I never would have known of except for the Donald P. McMahon Project.
Wow.
Your email music project. And I went back. I have a doc. Some of those albums I listened to maybe 5 seconds of and I just closed Spotify and said, that album is not for me.
Enough for me.
And some of them are amazing. I listen to around the house all the time. And I have a Google Drive document that I'll pull up every once in a while when I want to listen to something that maybe isn't at the top of my mind. And I scrolled through it and I found this song. And I'm going to say, I'm going to use it to walk into, there's like a white whale for me in New York City. Mm. A New York City experience. It's a white whale for me. One of my favorite artists, a guy named James Turrell. He does those huge, like, light squares that have been at, like, LACMA and at the Guggenheim.
Light installations.
He does light installations. When he did his pieces at the Guggenheim a couple years ago, I was going so often, I became a Guggenheim member, and I would just go and look at his amazing pieces for a really long time.
It's huge.
And
there's a
piece at PS1 that I've been wanting to see for years, but it's like really hard. It's like a thing to get in. You have to like book a ticket. I can never get a ticket. And it's supposed to be this beautiful piece where you go in and like there's this opening to the sky, and it's like it's based on Quaker meetings. I really want to go. Maybe this is the year I'm going to go. And when I walk in to this beautiful James Turrell piece, this is the song I went on as I'm watching the sunset. This is Planets by the band Joseph. And I just think it'd be the perfect song to see a beautiful art piece to. It's a beautiful art piece in and of itself, frankly, this song. That muffled tom,
yeah,
the harmonies, ooh. Kind of makes you wonder, though, is a cappella going to come back in?
This song's not a cappella.
It's not. It's not.
Muffled toms made you think of an acapella beatboxer.
You're right. It's very much not acapella, but I do think that the harmonies of the three singers are the calling card of the song.
Yeah, yummy harmonies. This is an amazing pick, man. I don't know this song, Planets.
I would have known it if not for Arthur Meyer and the Donald P. McMahon Project.
I would definitely look at art while listening to this song, but I will not bring a boombox to play it at an art gallery.
No, I'm in headphones. I mean, now I don't know if I'm going to do it anymore because you accused me so viciously of it being a humble brag. Now I'm too embarrassed to go. My dream is dead. My dream is dead.
Okay, we spent a whole episode talking about John Lennon, whom I love, but if I'm picking Beatles, I'm a McCartney guy. I do buy into the theory that it's his melodies and fun that makes the Beatles go round. He's the guy for me, so I'm picking from a McCartney solo project. My favorite album is Ram by Paul McCartney, released around the same time that John Lennon is making Imagine. It's a completely different album. The album's called Ram. It's awesome. My walk-in scenario is me busting into the New York subway for my crowded commute at 8 a.m. It's a packed subway car. Now, the first track on McCartney's Ram is called Too Many People. And it goes, too many people going underground. Literally about a crowded subway, but I'm not picking that. Okay. Instead, I'm picking a song about an insane person. Because that's the energy I want to put out when I go into the crowded subway car is, this person is crazy. Give him more personal space. The doors open and you cram your way into 100 people and this song blasts.
Yeah, I can really imagine you being one of those people that's like dangling household objects from their clothes on the New York subway. Yeah. You just have like a bunch of spoons hanging on your jacket and people are like, whoa, it's a spoon guy.
Yeah. Hair, unkempt, weird looking baggy coat. I draw the line at smelling. I won't smell bad. I will smell reasonable in this scenario. This song
You're faking it.
Yeah, I'm faking being crazy, which I want to put out that energy so that people give me that extra 6 inches around holding the pole. This song is called Monk Berry Moon Delight. It's by Paul McCartney, Paul and Linda McCartney, technically. It's right on Ram.
No, a lot of the songs on this album, Evan, John Lennon considered them to be specific burns to him. And later Paul McCartney admitted it. Like Too Many People, John Lennon was like, he was insulting me and Yoko. And at the time, Paul was like, I don't know what you're talking about. And like,
I didn't know that.
And like years later, he was like, yeah, Too Many People was about how much I hated John and
you were totally preaching practice.
And that's why he was writing all the Paul Byrne songs. It was like it was a beef thing.
That's funny because the John songs are more overt. How do you sleep? Yeah. Like, that's clearly a burn. But I guess I didn't know that as clearly about Paul writing things criticizing John.
Well, the song was originally called Too Many People, Right, John? That was the original title of that song.
Yeah.
Yeah. Too many people, specifically too many people.
Yeah, yeah. I think the world could do without little John and Yoko.
Okay, Monk Berry Moon Delight is my walk-in pick.
Great album. I love that album, Ram.
Arthur, what'd you bring?
Okay, I'm going to set up the situation first. I'm in an airport, and...
Are you or are you not with Russell Crowe?
I'm with Russell Crowe. We're about to head to Belize. And the flight's about to board, but I have to go to the bathroom. Mm. And I don't want to do it on the plane. So I'm trying to run to the nearest bathroom. And for some reason, I'm on the moving walkway. Mm. But idiotically, I'm going in the wrong direction because this is my first time on a moving walkway. I've never learned how they work.
This is very relatable.
Yeah. And I need a song that is just not right for the situation. Just a song that like everyone in the airport is like, this is a really ugly moment that we're witnessing right now. And that song would be Another Night by The Real McCoy. People are like, why doesn't he know how to use a moving walkway?
This is going to take forever. He's running at the same speed that the walkway is moving in the opposite direction.
Your feet are just landing exactly in the beat.
He's not moving any. Yeah, the feet are landing to the beat, but I'm not.
Oh, yeah, you're not.
I'm not getting anywhere.
I'm also imagining that by the point you get to this moment in the song, sweat is just pouring down your face. Like your shirt is drenched, your armpits are just totally dark, and everyone sitting at the gate right next to you is thinking like, am I going to be the one who's going to have to sit next to this guy?
Yeah.
Who's just like dripping in sweat.
And then it turns out that the pilot of that flight is the low voice dude from the song.
I talk. I don't know about this, man, because this song has such sunny energy. Like, if I'm watching you in this predicament, this song has made me feel less bad for you.
Okay, kind of like, so it kind of works.
I'm in a good mood now.
Yeah.
Oh, man, what's the deal with this guy's voice?
We're landing soon. We'll be cruising at 30,000 feet. I know, ask your tour is for cheese or meat.
I know we're not punching up this song, but in the hook she says, "You talk to me like lovers do." And then he immediately comes in and goes, I talk to you. You know, that comfortable lovers, pillow talk.
Yeah. Apparently this is how lovers do. Do you want to come to my apartment and take pictures of me?
If your lover is a German guy named Olaf who's pretending to be a New Yorker so he doesn't get caught.
I talk.
Olaf, let's make love.
Arthur, thank you so much for being here. I loved your walk-in song. I loved your suggestions for Imagine. Frankly, my stomach hurts. And thank you.
This was so much fun.
You know, this is the point in the show in which our listeners, delighted at having spent the last hour of their lives with you, want to go see what else you're up to.
Yes. Okay, so here's the thing I'm excited to promote. My friend Bridie Elliott and I made an album called Bridie and Arthur Sing Some Songs by the Beatles. And we made, it's a 10-song Beatles cover album.
What?
Yeah.
This is the most on-brand promo ever in the history of this show. Come on. So Bridie and Arthur Sing Some Beatles Songs, that's the name of it?
Yeah, Bridie and Arthur Sing Some Songs by the Beatles.
Sing Some Songs, but okay.
Yeah. Go look it up on Spotify.
But none of them is Imagine Some Fucked Up Stuff?
No, none of them. Okay. Yeah, and it's pretty much us just singing the Beatles songs. Occasionally, we change up a lyric here and there, but we don't like make the lyrics funny. We just we change a couple words around.
Well, hopefully lightly. When you guys do a deluxe re-release in 20 years, there'll be an 11th track, and that is this version of Imagine, just you guys singing this.
Oh, I can count on it, yeah.
Thanks for joining us today. You can follow the show at Punch Up The Jam, and you can also get this week's Punch Up and every other Punched Up song that we've done in this era on our Patreon at patreon.com/Gregory Brothers. It's the best deal on the internet. Song per buck. You can also follow me on Twitter. I'm at GetSomeEvan.
I'm A. Rose Gregory. Arthur, what's your Twitter handle?
My Twitter handle is, I'm on Instagram at ArthurMeyer13. I don't currently have a Twitter handle.
We will be back next week with another Punched Up Jam. I know it's hard to believe we're going to be doing it again, but you don't have to believe. You just have to imagine.
Let's punch it.
Punch up the jam, punch it up. Who are you? Punch up the jam, punch it up. Punch it, punch it, punch it. Punch up the jam, punch it up. Get the party going. Punch up the jam, punch it up. Punch it. Punch up the jam, punch it up. Punch it. Punch up the jam, punch it up. Punch it.
That was a HeadGum original.